Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of FYI, I Am Damaged. I'm here with Rahal Denny, a young spiritualist who has a lot of interesting things to say. Now, as you know, FYI, I Am Damaged is about not what a person went through, but their strengths, their characteristics of how they, what they developed. Going through whatever they did go through, and they're stronger for it or getting stronger for it. So, Radani, thank you for joining me.
Yes, I am here. Thank you for having me. I am ready for this.
And full disclosure, it's late. We're, pretty nice, and we're just going to push through this shit.
Let's do it.
Oh yeah, for them edibles kicking. But so let's get this shit started. Well, I'm honored to have what I believe to date is one of the strongest persons I know. This young woman has what I believe gone through hell and back due to a horrifying accident that could have easily taken her life. But here she sits to share her insights, her strengths, through her journey and continued healing. Thank you for joining me again. Now let's quickly touch on what happened. What can you, to your knowledge and ability, because of what you went through, what can you tell us about what happened?
All right, so I know that I was in an accident. I don't really know exactly what happened, but I have an idea. I broke a lot of different parts of my body. And that's all I know, because I don't want to read the medical records, and I don't remember what if they told me anything.
But it was very physically traumatic.
Very physically traumatic, yes.
In the hospital for months.
3 months.
So from what I know is you were on a bike.
Yes.
A car came from behind, hit you and the other individual.
Actually, the car was turning left, and right, we were going through an intersection, so it was like a head-on collision kind of deal.
Right. And it was very, it's not something that you don't want to get the phone call and hear about. And it was very, it was just very bad. And
That's so horrible. I hate that I did that to so many people, that I just like, I woke them up in the middle. I mean, I didn't wake them up in the middle of the night, but like they got woken up in the middle of the night because of me. And I don't like that. And it was like a scary, like if it was like a happy wake up in the middle of the night call. Yeah, but mm-hmm. It wasn't a happy one.
And wasn't your fault. Shit happens. And we're going to get into how this has made you stronger, and we're gonna touch on what we touch on, and let's just have a good conversation.
Alrighty.
Now, before the accident, you as a person, how would you describe yourself?
I would say I was pretty joyful. I don't know. I would say, I don't know. I guess I didn't know myself before. I guess that's what I can say.
Because you are in your 20s. You're still self-discovering. Yes. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. But you have a clear kind of indication of the type of person you are, regardless of what has happened. What has happened. So the prior point and then afterwards.
Yes.
Because I know you're a very introspective person.
Yeah, I live in my head.
A lot of people do. So let's see if we can get you out for this interview.
Let's do it.
Now, with all that going on with the physical stuff you have to get over and how it affected you mentally, do you still see your old self in you now?
100%, yes. Yes. And with some parts, it's like, oh, I was like this before. And then like I see like a little bit of improvement. And it's like, whoa. And then with other parts, I'm like, I see myself like how I was back then. Like it'll come up and then I'll be like, I should not be doing this, but I'm gonna do it because, you know, they both have to exist at the same time. I can be me back then and me now, I guess, at the same time.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, it shows growth, and you don't cut away the old when you're growing the new.
Yeah, no, everything, bring everything with me.
Right. That's good. Well, you told us that you don't remember the accident. Does that bother you that you can? And do you think that it's best for your mental health going forward with your healing?
So since I didn't remember my accident, like early on into the healing, like when I was already home, I was like, what happened to me? What happened to me? So I got curious and I would like research other people's near-death experiences. And like I heard what they said, and although the experiences were all like different, the overall message was the same. It was like they just felt nice, at peace and love, all that. And I feel that now. So I don't know if I came back or not, because like if I feel that, like, am I still there or am I here? Where am I?
was that confirmed that they may have to resuscitate you, or you're not aware?
I don't know for sure, but
okay.
In like a little, I read the first 3 pages. My medical records is more, there's a lot of pages, but I read the first 3 pages, and in the first 3 pages it said there was cardiac activity but no pulse. So my heart was still beating, but just no pulse. But like there was also brain damage, so I think I was brain dead, or like since I lost so much blood,
right?
Like there wasn't blood wasn't getting to my head, and I think that's when you like are dead, maybe.
So just reading that, does that kind of change your perspective in certain ways?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Like I have to stop reading because I don't believe it. Like I know that doesn't happen to anyone in real life. That just happens in movies.
And no type of how people say, you know, tunnel light, this, that, light flash before your eyes type of deal.
Well, no, I hit my head, so I have memory issues. But when, like, as I was thinking about it and reflecting on the whole thing, I came and like I was hearing other people's near-death experiences. I was thinking maybe the light that they see is life instead of whatever.
No, that's a good way to look at it. Now, for those that have never been through this, do you remember when you woke up and what was running through your mind other than, like, oh shit, I'm alive?
So I don't remember the first month that I was awake. I have no memory. But there are videos. And I see some of the videos that my family members showed me. And in one of the videos, I'm telling my cousin, oh, I'll be back. I'm going back home. Oh, I'm going back to work. I'll be back. But I was in the hospital. I wasn't going anywhere. And my brother, he said that I would tell him, like, let's go, let's get out of here. Like, I was completely out of it. I had no idea where I was, what happened, nothing.
And zero
for a whole month. And then, like, at the beginning of January, stuff started sticking, but I was still, like, not fully there yet. But that's when I started having some memories forming.
Right. And you may think, are you I would think that was maybe your subconscious self.
Maybe. I have no idea because I don't remember.
And does that give you a certain kind of perspective of what basically goes on behind the eyes when your conscious self is just not there yet? But then you see this happening. And how do you think you can basically reconcile that? Like, is if when my conscious is asleep and then I see this, like, this is what's going on when I'm not aware of it. Did that ever run through your mind?
Honestly, nothing was going on through my mind the whole 3 months I was there. I was just blinking and breathing at that place.
Oh no, afterwards, when you see these videos and you're getting to it, you're recovering, and then they say, "Hey, look at this." And he's like, "What the fuck is going on? I don't remember."
Just looking at it. I mean, like, I knew what I had went through, so I just knew that person was in an accident in a hospital. She didn't know what was going on, and she was drugged up.
Mm. Okay.
So I don't connect myself to that person, I guess.
Right.
Cause like that was not me. That wasn't Haldeni. That was just a person in a hospital.
Your placeholder.
Yeah. No.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Healing from something serious can either scatter your thoughts or make you insanely focused. Have you experienced both? Now, I know you said there was the, you know, almost slight brain damage issue. Was that confirmed?
Yeah, TBI. Gotcha. A TBI, traumatic brain injury. That's what I have.
Okay.
They didn't tell me at the hospital because I would have forgotten. Mm-hmm. So when I was in rehab, they left a packet on the bed. And I guess when I came back to therapy, I saw that packet there on the bed. So I read it because I was like, why is this here? So I read it, and as I was reading, I was like, oh, that happened to me. And I still wasn't connecting it that they left that paper there because that's what I have. So until I got to the end of the packet, then I was like, they left this here for me because I have this. So like, it's like, I still have like moments where it takes time for like stuff to click for me.
Right.
And like my brain and my mouth are not really there on the same plane.
You're Spanish, so does the mouth act faster than the brain?
Sometimes, but you know, with mindfulness and all that I'm learning, I'm learning to be more like mindful of my thoughts and my words.
Hmm. No, I do that too. I'm like, well, no, time to not be an asshole right now.
Yeah, I guess this helped me learn that. This experience helped me learn that.
No, that's you know, it's a helpful practice. But do you still feel yourself maybe in scatter mode, waiting to get focus, or where do you feel currently? Are you riding the middle where some days are like, wow, I'm glad I got dressed, or I don't know how I got dressed, or you're firing on all cylinders, you know what you're doing for the day, or you know, everything, the awareness is there. How would you describe that to somebody? How would you deal with that to make sure you're focused on the right path?
I just think, like, what am I going to do today? What do I have to do today? And for the most part, right now, it's nothing but heal. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely, yeah.
It helps. It just helps to just think of every single move before I make it to make sure it's the right move.
Right.
Can you ask your question again?
You want me to ask the question again? Okay. No, well, if so, you have your scattered moments.
Yeah.
And then you have your focus moments.
Okay.
So it looks like you were touching on the focus moments. Like if you only have one job.
Yeah.
And that's to get better.
Yes.
So when you have your focus days, you know, regimentally, like this is what I'm doing from A to Z, as opposed to those scattered days.
Okay, so scattered. Okay, so whenever I be scatterbrained, if I'm scatterbrained, it's usually like I won't remember if I flushed the toilet or not, or if I locked the door or not. But like I try to be like, oh, I'm locking the door, so I don't have to remember, like, oh, did I lock the door or not? I have to walk back to say, because I don't want to walk back. It's a lot of work for me to walk.
Right.
So I try to, like, be mindful, like, I'm flushing the toilet now. And then if I'm thinking about, did I flush the toilet? I'll be like, oh, I said I flushed the toilet now, so I flushed it.
Now, that I feel, that can come with a bit of frustration. How do you reconcile doing that with the frustration of having to constantly remind yourself, constantly double check things, constantly double check yourself to make sure that everything's good. How do you calm yourself from that to get stronger for it?
I remind myself that that I have to be patient with myself because I went through an NDE. So, and that, then, you know, I have like effects from that. So I have to be patient with myself.
Right.
That's, I just remind myself that it's okay if this happens.
Good. And for people who don't know, NDE is a near-death experience. It's easy for everyone to steady focus on your physical health and making sure that you're getting better. Was there anyone helping you keep your mental health on track? Was there any, and I'll revisit the question, was there any mechanisms in place or not to help your body heal, but also keep your sanity while you were in the hospital?
Okay, so in the hospital, nobody really like talked to me about mental health, or and if they did, I don't remember. But when I got home, like after rehab, when I got home, that's when everything hit me that like this happened to me and my life changed. And I was miserable. I was so miserable. Or that person was very miserable.
Right.
She would be like, I'm home. I'm not supposed to be uncomfortable at home. Or she would say stuff like, the doctor shouldn't have saved me instead, like, because like I was just, that person was just so miserable
at that point in time. You would tell this to yourself. You say this to yourself.
That person was horrible, miserable. And I had loved ones, family members, and they would like bring up suggestions on, you know, think positive, seek out therapists. But when you're in that mental state, you know, you make up excuses for yourself and you like find resistance all the time because that's just how that mental state is, I guess.
Internal resistance for you listening to them about the advice they were giving you?
Yeah, like I wouldn't just make up something like that would be like, oh, I can't do that because of this. Mm. But like I've never even tried.
Right.
And then, so this was during the time when like everyone wanted therapy because COVID just messed everything up. So I seeked out two therapists and they were both, I was on the wait list for both of them. So for 2 months, I was just not okay. And then like, I got tired of being not okay. So one day I was just like, I'm tired of being miserable. Let me see how I can fix this. So
was it a certain thing? Or it just bubbled up in your head, or you just saw something, somebody said something, and you're like, fuck that, I don't want to feel this way anymore.
It was just doing, being miserable for so many days. I was just like, or hours even, like every second, I was just not okay, or that person was not okay. So I just was like, all right, how do I fix this? What do I do? So I was like, all right, what happened? So then that's when I read like the first few pages of.
So this is your focused moment.
I guess so.
Your focus, you're like, fuck that. I want to figure out how to turn the corner on this.
Yeah. I didn't get too far on the medical records because that was intense.
Right.
But then since I had an idea, like I was in an accident. What happened in the accident? This happened, this happened, this happened. I looked at my scars and I got to know my scars because that helped me like connect to what happened, kind of.
Right.
And then I accepted it. I was like, yeah, I have to accept this. This is what happened. And it's okay. Mm. I accepted it. And then for me, after that, I tried getting comfortable talking about my scars to other people and then showing my scars to other people. And yeah, it made people uncomfortable because some scars are, they're intense, some of my scars,
right.
But that's what I needed. I needed to be comfortable with myself again because this is a whole new body,
right.
Very different body from before.
Has it been easy to be, well, of course it's not going to be easy, but how long was it a long transition to get comfortable? within your skin, or not even within your skin, but with your scars. Some certain people have issues with having scars.
So I'm comfortable speaking about my scars, and so it didn't take too long for me to get comfortable with my scars, me with my scars, but I'm not comfortable showing other people all my scars. Like, I'll show people some scars, but not all of them, because some of them are duh. But I'm comfortable with them because I live with my body. I have to be comfortable with
Yeah, we're only focusing on you. Who gives a fuck what they see or whatever? No, we're talking about you. Okay, good. Now, has it turned into not a badge of honor, but just a type of, I want to get the right say, like the seeing these scars on you, and they're gonna be with you, until it's done. But I don't want to say you can take what God or
We're
is
fucking.
everything. But all right, too much alcohol.
It's okay. I'm gonna see it right now.
Are they a sort of, for lack of a better word, badge of honor type of deal of your, well, a badge of survival?
So for me, I just see them as part of my body now. This is my body. This is me. This is not. I don't see it as a badge of anything. But other people, like my nail tech, when she does my nails, she'll. Well, that one, the first time she saw, and she did my nails, she saw my hand scars, and she was like, "Oh, I see scars as the tattoo of life." And I was like, "Oh,
Interesting.
yeah, tattoos of life."
No, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And see that's what I love. It's that sort of kind of like a strength mantra. It's like it helps somebody else,
Yes.
and that's good. And maybe that, was that Scars of Life. No, that's good. I like that one. That's
Oh wait, no, tattoos of life.
Tattoos of Life.
Scars are the tattoos of life. Did I say scars of life? I
No,
did.
I think I fucked it
Okay.
up. Yeah, that was me.
I just gotta always keep myself in check about.
Absolutely. No, that was all me. You're
Okay.
good. Now it's easy. Scratch that. Towards the end of your hospital stay, what are some of the positive things you've taken from it? What would you prep family members to be on the lookout to help their loved ones to pay attention to? To be there for them and not just be on a constant reaction mode.
Okay, so there was more than one question there. Let's go.
Right. So let's stick to, like, what did you take? What are the certain positive things you've taken from your hospital stay
Okay.
that's helped you get to this point? And mind you, this is you're got all the you're disconnected. And you're on your feet or in the wheelchair, you're basically heading out. You're gonna go home.
Okay.
You're gonna be convalescing there. And looking back, being at the hospital, what are certain positive things you took from it that would help you heal?
In the hospital. Positive things in the hospital.
Not
The
that much.
nurses were great. Most of the nurses. I'm pretty sure there were one or two nurses that were not so great to me because I was annoying. But most of the
I think you had a
nurses
reason to be annoyed.
were great. Probably, yes. There was some doctors that would come and check on me every day. And I remember that meant to, a lot to me. But in the hospital, not a lot, but in rehab, there was a, I just, the therapist there, the nurses there, everyone there was just so wonderful to me. It felt like I was getting back to me. That's where I started feeling like myself, a little bit like myself again. Like, I had recreational therapy, physical, occupational, speech therapy, all those. But with the recreational therapy, it was very fun. I would do tie-dye, I would bake, I would color, we would play games. It was cool. It was fun. But positives from the hospital.
Well, if it's nothing from, because what I want to try and get to is someone's listening to this. Someone may have gone through on the flip side of being there for a person that was in the hospital. And they would react. They want to know what the doctor saw. What's the evaluation for the day? What's this? What's that? Basically, they're asking all the questions like, okay, she's alive. Is she going to stay alive? What's the stuff that's affecting her now? Is that going to be something that's going to change the whole narrative of what this person is going through? So a person has been through that. But then another person listening to this that they haven't been through it. And they don't know if something like that happens and they have to react. Of course, boom, you go down there. You be there for the person. You hope they survive. And if they do, rather than reacting, how can they be there for the person that's going through this?
Okay, all right, I understand.
You don't want somebody fluffing your pillows.
I understand that.
Okay. You know, or so, whatever. But
So my parents were the ones that were there every day, my mom and my dad. And, well, they weren't there together, but it was like, every other week one was there. They were great. They brought me home cooked meals because hospital food can get a little tiring. So just the home cooked meals for me. They would ask me if I wanted anything from the store and they would bring it the next day. There were some people that couldn't go visit me, but they were still like drop off flowers or balloons when they never saw me. So that meant a lot to me. Just my parents were just there doing, being parents, I guess, being concerned parents.
Of course.
And that helped me. Just them being there, just sitting there, not talking. Because I'm pretty sure I wasn't talking. Maybe I was talking. I don't know. Right. But they were just sitting there. And I just remember always looking to the side and seeing them there sitting.
You're aware of them. And then they're there. Yeah. And it was a source of comfort for you.
Yes, I was never alone. So I guess to just always be there, just in whatever way, even if it you can't see them, send something to them or like be on the phone with them. I was always on my phone. A lot of people would call me.
But the how much to heart did you people left? I'm guessing people left you messages and all that type of stuff that was important to you.
Yes. It was.
How did that kind of prop you up to want to get better from those messages from family members and loved ones?
At the time, I didn't really see how it helped me because my brain was not there.
Of course.
But now when I look back, I'm like, that really did something for me because they gave me the motivation to keep getting better. Like, they put out all that energy for me to get better. So I have no other choice but to get better. Like, there was a lot of people putting in a lot of energy towards me, like whether it was just a thought or a physical stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of people put a lot to me. That experience showed me how loved I am.
Right.
I'm very loved. Thank you, people.
No, it's that type of thing. You didn't think it was there, or you didn't think it was that intensely?
I didn't think about it. Like, who, you know, I mean, I don't know, but I didn't think about that because everyone has to be loved, obviously. So it wasn't something that I thought about because everyone is loved. I'm assuming. I hope everyone's, and if you're not loved, I love you.
We love you.
Yes, we love you.
Now, okay. You've become very spiritual in your healing journey. Tell us how that has impacted your insights into maintaining your strength.
It helped give me like something to like lean on. If I need something to like lean on, just it helped me.
What got you into being more spiritual? How did that start?
I mean, I was spiritual before the accident. So I was into tarot before the accident and like kind of into numerology. But then after, like, everything just became clear, like super clear. I don't know, it just made sense.
In what aspect? Like with yourself, with people, with nature, Everything
with
or
everything, the whole world, the stuff outside of this world, like the universe, the planets, the world, us, everything is just, it helped, it just helped. Just me thinking about everything just helped me. I don't know.
did it give you a confidence, or did it give you more of a just a foundation to know that, you know what, I can grow off of this?
Yeah, it gave me something to believe in. Like, oh, I believe in something, so I can do something.
Right.
Like, I'm not just here, just blinking and breathing.
it well, not that it didn't give you a purpose, but did it help you? There's no way that it helped you maintain your sanity or anything like that. You were already just, you're good. You just basically didn't have any direction. And with this being
Yeah.
more wide open to you.
Yeah, I kind of see, like, I don't know where I'm going, but I trust God that I'm going
And you get
somewhere
there.
great because wow, stuff's been going great so far.
That's
Even
awesome.
if it was going bad, it was still going great because it turned out great.
Yeah, you're here.
Yes.
Now, with little things you shared, one thing to me that stood out, that stood the same before and after, was your interest and your love for nature. How has that impacted your healing, your growth, and your strength as you take this day by day?
I appreciate the hell out of that, anything that has to do with nature or the world. I just feel it. Like I can look at the sky or look at a tree and just like feel something. I just feel like appreciation and gratitude and love. Like it just feels good to just look at something.
You feel you're around life.
Yes, I guess so. Yeah. Oh. Whoa. Yeah, I'm around
Well,
life. Like it feels good to be alive, I guess.
absolutely, yeah. No, I'm the type of, I would love to just sit around and hear nature, and you know, it's a good feeling. Like, I'm glad the spring and the summer is here, around here. I mean, you know how it
Yes,
is. You go
beautiful,
outside,
beautiful,
the
beautiful.
birds don't shut up, and you don't want them to, you know.
Everywhere, it's just beauty. I just see beauty everywhere. That's another thing. I see beauty everywhere.
Like, what's one of the, what has
Everything.
one thing that stood out that was to you, that it
So,
mattered to you about that view?
wherever if I look up anywhere and I see the sun, I just see beauty anywhere. Like even if it's so today it was kind of drizzling on the way here and it was like on the windshield of the car and I was like, wow, that's so beautiful. Like just the raindrops just on the windshield, just like everything's just beautiful.
Now, your cousin, my wife and producer, decimated your TikTok account with her views. She was relieved that you haven't lost that shy silliness you have in your personality. Now, was it hard to hold on to that? Was there any feelings you had to let go that developed due to the recovery so that you can be this shy, silly person that you are?
I honestly, I don't know. Like, I just feel like this is who I am. Like, this is what I do. So I'm gonna keep doing it.
So it's like, as you gradually, your personality came back,
Yeah.
that sort of came back with it. You don't think you've lost it, or you didn't really have to get over any type of hump to get back to that. Like, a lot of people feel, maybe they feel a little bit bitter, maybe they feel a little bit wronged, or just whatever feeling they would feel coming back from that. There was nothing. Did you see it having any type of effect on you? And that once it's gone, then it's like, hey, you have some good times on
Not
TikTok.
really, because like when I got home, like my parents, my family, everyone just gave me the space to just be whatever I was gonna be. Like they didn't like pressure me to do anything. They didn't pressure
Right.
me to walk. They didn't pressure me to even shower. Like there would be days where I would spend days without showering. Like it just took a lot for, and they
But it
just
would be
like they
rough
go.
to shower how you what you were going through.
I mean, yeah, that too. But like they gave me the space to be me, I guess.
Right.
Whatever me is, whoever me is.
So that's one thing you would stress to somebody who's helping somebody recover is
Just
give them
patient, be
space.
patient, be very patient. Like patience is amazing.
And you give them the patience and the how do they say, like, give them a wide berth, because you don't know, they could be beating themselves up.
Yes, like you never know what's going on inside someone's head because there was nobody at home that I could talk to about what I was going on, like what's going on with me, because nobody in my house went through that, thankfully. Yeah.
Now, if somebody would have approached you, you're laying in bed, they sit down and they want to know your thought process, want to know what you're feeling, what you're going through. If at that time they would have asked you, would you have shared
All the
of you recovering?
time.
So let's say, like you said, they gave you space to basically come back home.
Okay, yes.
Now, during that time of them giving you space, if somebody's like really concerned, like, what are you thinking? What's going through your head? Would you have shared that, or you weren't ready yet?
I definitely wasn't ready because I, even now, I'm still making sense of it, but back then I was really making sense of it. I was trying to figure it how I was just trying to figure it out. Like I understand it because it's in my head, but I don't know how to put my thoughts into words, so that's gonna be harder for me to do to someone else because they wouldn't understand what I'm saying
Right.
because I don't know how to say it in a way that they would understand, I guess, since they haven't been through it.
Right. And you would definitely recommend that. Give whoever is going through it their ability to process and get to that point where then they can express it. So
Yes.
that space is very, you felt was very vital to you.
Yeah, you definitely have to have space and time to understand and go through things like in your head, like analyze what ha and everyone analyzes differently. Like they take their time. Some people do it fast. Some people, sometimes it takes years to understand what's going on with you.
Right. And definitely, if anybody's listening to this and you haven't done this and you've been through this and you would recommend seeking mental therapy, mental support. That definitely helped you
Yeah,
come back little by little.
I would say therapy helped having me like talk about like my everyday stuff because she was just talking about like my everyday things and she would teach me coping mechanisms, but I feel like coping mechanisms didn't really work for me because to me I see coping mechanisms as like kicking the can down the road. Like you're not really like addressing the issue. You're just finding ways to,
Not picking up the can.
Yeah.
Stop kicking the shit. Pick it up.
Yes. So like even when I was like if I had trouble like really like getting to like the thick of it, I would use some of the coping mechanisms and that would help me get to the thick of it.
What were those coping mechanisms?
For me, so I had anxiety. I developed anxiety because of all that. So one of my therapists, she gave me like this worksheet and she would be like, I never used it, but she emailed it to me and it was like stuff like filling out what is happening now, what are you thinking about, why are you thinking about it, just like questions one by one. But the way that I ended up learning how to deal with anxiety was by just thinking the power of now. Like now is very powerful. Like the only thing is now. And because anxiety is caused by like thinking of the future
Right.
or like what's gonna happen next. So instead of what's gonna happen next, just think about what's happening now. So that helped me.
So being in the now helps you move forward and you just take it as it comes.
Yes, just take it like day by day. Yeah. Take it second by second.
Right. So we're kind of confident that you don't have a 10-year plan right now.
No, no, I just take it day by day. Day by day, whatever Good. God throws at me, I handle it gracefully.
As we should take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if at all, if you feel yourself getting down, share with us how you help yourself stand strong to know you're here for a reason.
Okay, so when I'm down. All right, so yeah.
I notice you use music a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, music helps me. I don't know, it just helps me. Like, that's something that helps me. When I'm feeling down, I let myself feel it because I believe that emotions are meant to be felt. That's why they're there. So I let myself feel it, but I don't live in them.
Right.
Because then I'm not doing anything. There's no forward. There's no progress if I'm just living in the feeling. I let it flow through me so that it can be let out. And then I move on to what's the next step. So an example with that, a doctor called me a few days ago, even. I was here.
This is the next step to getting better, or what's, you know, that next step? Because if you're dealing with it and then you accept what you're feeling, that next step is something different or getting to basically your goal of how you're feeling better.
I just take it as it comes.
So what were the exercises that you would do?
The power of now,
right,
were very helpful for me, just thinking of the power of now. And the music helps me a lot. It helps ground me. So I'm not thinking about like whatever's making me anxious. And I just take it as it comes.
Does it, for me, like with music, it just makes me forget about it. Do you forget, or do you just mix that in with how the music makes you feel to try and use that as another mechanism to get you a little more happier?
So the music that I listen to is affirmation music. So it like gives me power to do whatever I have to do. Like that's just, it gives me power. It makes me feel like I can do it. I can do anything.
Right. Any other things that you do to put you in a space where, you know, you're good, basically?
I just be with myself a lot. I'm always with myself. I'm very comfortable with myself. Like, I'll sit in silence forever. I just let my mind deal with whatever it needs to deal with. Like, I just let it come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's an idea or a message from someone else, if whatever, I let it come to me.
You talk it out in your head, or you work through it. That's one of my mechanisms, is I can take something and then basically branch off to see how, basically analyze it, run through scenarios. Something is given to you, you have to deal with it. It can go in all these directions.
That's something I talk it out with myself. I love having options, so I try to think of all the options or scenarios possible that mm-hmm. are possible, like the good and the bad outcomes, and I'll like think how I would act in this scenario versus this one, and that helps me.
And it's a reassurance because you have almost options with any situation.
Yes, options are great. Especially for an indecisive person. I mean, and that kind of sounds like, because you're indecisive, so more options means I don't know which one to choose, but it just helps me see which one would be better for me.
Yeah, towards your goal.
So yeah.
To make a better decision. Yeah, I do that. A lot of people do that.
Okay.
There's nothing, but
nobody talks about it.
That's what kills me. It's like, this is one of the things where you know, someone would say, I can't think in that way. You know, it's either it's A to B, but they don't say A1, B2, C3, and see the branches. You know, think in sort of a growing tree way. You know, so you know, multi-risk thinking. That would be anything could happen at any time with any decision you make. You know, it's good to have options.
Yes.
Now, we may, maybe you can expand on it with the way I asked, because we talked about the whole feeling good in your skin again. Teach us how a person can empower themselves no matter what happened to them, physically, mentally, to feel comfortable in their own skin again.
Whatever you believe that you are, remind yourself that you are that. So, you know, I say I am love a lot. That's one of my affirmations. I am love. So I remind myself I am love. So whenever I'm feeling annoyed and stuff, I'm be like, I am love. And then that brings me back to being more calm,
really?
I guess. Or another one I say is I am peace. I am peaceful. That was also good.
Do you have any strong mechanisms that help you get through it should you encounter somebody that kind of has a slick mouth and they see your scars and, you know, hey, you must have been an MMA fighter. Like, so say some stupid shit. Like, how do you deal with with that type of personality?
I just say thank you. Thank you. There was a man. I was walking, like, last week, I was walking in Burnside, and there was a man. He was like, cuidado si te cae, which is like, be careful if you fall, because I was like with my cane and stuff. Uh-huh. And I was, in my head, I was like, thank you. Yes, I am trying not to fall. Like, whatever, I'm gonna just flip it to work for me, whatever people say.
Because he sees you with a cane, he thinks you're gonna do cartwheels or something.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm gonna flip it to work for me. So, yeah, you know, I'm not an MMA fighter, but I am a survivor, so I did fight for my life.
Very good to us. See? Yeah. Doing it to me.
To everybody, shut it down. Well, I'm trying. I'm still learning how to do it to everybody. There's some people, especially like closer family members, that I won't open my mouth to. But I'm working on it. I'm working on speaking up. I'm working on it.
That's all you can do. Right? Trust me. Now, you did. Other than the mental therapy and the physical therapy, were there any other options for you that you took advantage that were maybe offered to you, or you discovered that, you know, it's helping you through your journey?
Weed. Smoked weed before, but now I have a reason to, because
now it's medical cannabis.
Yes. So yeah, the weed helped me a lot. I would say just journaling about it. I journal every day, every single day.
Are there methods to journaling, or it's just writing? How were you given pointers to get that, you know, on track to help you?
So yeah, one of my therapists, she told me to start just writing about my days. So I would start by writing all my days, but now it has evolved to me just gratituding and affirmationing. Mm-hmm. So
I'll break down the affirmation.
So affirmation is just whatever makes you feel good, whatever like gives you power, whatever you say that is going to give you power and speak goodness onto the world.
Mm-hmm. And that has helped you a lot. That's something that you really recommend someone do.
Yes. Affirmations are super powerful. Mm-hmm.
And journaling in general to get basically the communication out of you.
Well, for me, it's journaling. Some people, they like to do voice recordings. Maybe that works for them. But I like to journal because I like just seeing it. And making the motion, I'm the one creating this with my own hand.
Right.
And it helps me. It helps my brain.
No, I completely agree, because when I started this and I started writing pen to paper, I I can type 70 words a minute. I can probably knock this out of a hat in my head to put on, but to type it up. But to this day, every single question that I ask, every idea, it's all written down. And I feel you on that, and I recommend that to people, whether it's journaling, whether it's whatever you're doing, put pen to paper, because seeing it there, knowing that it went from your brain through your arm to the pen to the paper, and you're rereading it, make your little edits. I definitely wholly recommend it. It is a good exercise. And you still do it to this day.
Every day, that is what keeps me like connected to my future self, whatever that future self is.
Just leaving little notes for
Yeah, I just be
them.
like, I am this and I am that. The next day, which is the future, I am that.
Oh, hey, who knows? 20 years from now, you're looking at those papers like, shit, was I high that day? No, having a huge family is a blessing, which you do. How has that been helping you move forward? What has been the challenging points to that blessing?
So challenging points to that blessing.
Because with the challenge, gives us an exercise to get stronger. So, what
Yes.
are those challenges and how do you handle those
So one of
challenges?
those challenges is that since they see me day to day, they see how I am better, but they're not in my head, so they don't know everything that I'm doing to be better. And it's
Right.
like at all times that I am doing this to be better, there is no breaks. And they don't, and I don't really speak on that because it's harder to tell the people that you like that you're super close to something than it is to tell a stranger something. For me, at least, like I'm
Right.
more comfortable telling a stranger something than my family. But it's just sometimes they don't understand. Sometimes it takes a while for them to understand. Sometimes I have to speak up, and it's a work, I guess it's what I have to do. That I am learning how to speak up, so it's something that I'm doing.
That empowers yourself. That
Yeah.
empowers you to speak up. You're feeling a certain way about something. Just because you speak up doesn't make you an asshole.
But it, in my family, it's seen as like, oh, she's talking back, or like it's just or like, who does she think she is? Because I guess they still see me as a little girl and not.
So some haven't let that go, seeing you as a child
Yeah,
growing
they
up.
still see me as their little daughter or niece or grandchild or whatever.
You were so sweet when you were younger. Hey, grown.
Exactly, I'm a woman now.
Hear me roar. Now, shine a light for those listening. How can they best help a friend, a loved one from your experience and your journey that can help from this side of the person going through the healing process?
I would tell them to just be patient with them, like super, super patient, and let them come to you.
Right.
Don't go to them and don't pressure them with anything.
Don't rush the healing process.
Yes, no, not at all. Definitely
And
is
have you
the healing.
experienced that? Like somebody rushing, like making you get somewhere where you're not ready to go?
Yeah, my parents, they'd be like, oh, you're, are you gonna get a job? No, I'm not gonna get a job. I'm not ready for a job yet. Yeah, just like to be patient with them, honestly. Like that's the main thing that I'm learning is patience with myself even. Like I was very impatient before. Like I just wanted things done quick, 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 instant gratification. And now I'm learning that it's better to wait for things to happen.
Well, just a little sprinkle of you trying to make it happen,
Oh
right?
yeah, like you have to put in the work, obviously.
Right.
whatever that work is for, whatever it is that you're trying to do.
And look, even healing can be work.
A lot of work. My body is doing so much on the inside. Like, my body is doing what a normal body does plus extra. So that's a lot.
Just to have a regular day.
Yeah. Yeah, you understand.
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, full disclosure, like, I have Crohn's disease. And we had this discussion before. Or I just had a flare-up, and it's looking at me like, are you okay?
Yeah, like healing is very, it's not linear. It's not linear at all. It's very up and downy. And it's going to be like that forever.
I hope not.
Oh, I mean, it's just healing.
It's, yeah, but it's a process. And your side of the process, it's showing that patience is needed. Love is needed. Support is needed.
A lot of support. Yes, I love my support system so much. Thank you to everybody. Even if I just walked past you, thank you. And I didn't say anything. Thank you.
And that's great. That's what people need, even regardless of how strong the person can be. You know, doesn't mean that a strong person doesn't have their moments.
Yeah, we're all human. We're all human.
Now, with a lot of people putting in their support for you and or sending you love and everything, is there any shout outs, any mentions of whoever helped you get to this point and your journey? Who do you want to shout out? What do you want to make mention that's helped you?
Everybody. I want to shout everyone out. And it's such a long list. Oh, my goodness. So my parents, first and foremost, yes. Thank you, Mommy and Poppy. Thank you, Dawn, so much. She was there for me. She would call me every day.
Dawn is a coworker,
best friend. Since I was 10 years old.
Nice. Shout out to Dawn.
Shout out to Dawn. And just everybody, all my loved ones, whether you're family, friend, acquaintance, everybody, just thank you so much. So shout out to y'all, because I'm here.
That's right. Damn right. Now, thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of FYI, I Am Damaged. By all means, please share this with friends, family, anyone you think who can use this to strengthen themselves and be a better person for everyone else. And if you feel you have a topic to discuss, by all means, please reach out. I'm open to hearing everyone out. If they think they feel they have the strength tactics to help other people, and by all means, please reach out.
Thank you so much for listening. FYI, I am damaged.
FYI, I am damaged. Take care, guys.